world is being deprived of future generations.
We are so glad that so many young people are getting involved in pro-life things.
We always understood that human life begins at conception.
Welcome to Voices for the Unborn, where every week at this time, we bring you the voice of life.
What this theology of the body has given us is nothing short of a revolution for the world.
That's where I see the hand of God in hindsight. When I look back, I see His fingerprints all over my life.
To me, it should just refuel us and get us going so we can get out there and protect those unborn children.
We just can never give up.
And now, here are your hosts, Bill Miller and Jeanette Wynn.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bill Miller, back with Voices for the Unborn. And today, it's Holy Spirit Radio. And guess what? We have a studio filled with Holy Spirit nuns from Tanzania. And they're living at Assumption Parish in Feasterville, which is my parish. And so I see them quite often at Mass and various social things we have. And I thought it would be great to have them come out here and talk a little bit about their order and the work that they do and their charism. So I will ask each one of them to introduce themselves. I have their names on a photo here, but I think it would be better if we let them introduce themselves. Here's a photo here. But we'll start off with Sister Catherine, who is the, I guess, Mother Superior of the group that's living in Assumption. So, Sister, a little bit about you.
Thank you. My name is Sister Catherine Gaspar Msuya. I've been in the order for 25 years. I work at St. Joseph Manor as a nurse assistant. I'd like to be here at Assumption, especially for today, to be here with the Holy Spirit Radio. It is a great opportunity to let our community people, they can hear about our community, what do we do, what is our life is as a missionary of the Holy Spirit Sisters.
Thank you, Sister. And Sister?
I am Sister Mariana Alex Liakurua from the Holy Spirit Sisters. I am happy to be here in the Holy Spirit Radio.
Sister?
My name is Sister Marietta Anthony Materu, a Holy Spirit sister from Tanzania, Kilimanjaro. I am a student at Mana College, and I'm expecting to go to Immaculata University for nursing program. And also I work part-time at St. Joseph's Mana as a nurse aide. I'm glad to be at the Holy Spirit Radio.
Sister.
Thank you.
My name is Sister Carolina Constantinia Singer from Holy Spirit Sisters. I am glad to be here in Holy Spirit Radio. I work in Lafayette Holy Redeemer. Thank you.
My name is Sister Ida Gabriel Wiso, and from Tanzania. I'm very happy to be here today. And I'm a student at Cabrini College, pursuing my master's degree, and I'm hoping to graduate this year. Thank you very much for your warm welcome here at Holy Spirit Radio.
My name is Sister Martina Philip Buretta of the Holy Spirit Sisters. I'm very happy to be here with the Radio of the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Okay. we had a nice ride out here because sisters had to follow me. It was like the Indianapolis 500, trying to keep up with me because we usually have to get here in time so we can get all set up before the program goes on the air. One of the charisms of the sisters, I guess now, is working with the elderly in the nursing homes, and I'm probably you will run into people from our parish when you're over there working, because I know a lot of our people in our parish used to volunteer. I guess before you came, we had an organist Peggy Kane. She played the organ. She was there for like 40 years. And she used to go over, her and a couple other ladies, once a month or twice a month. And when they would gather all the patients down into the room, and she would play the piano, and it would have somebody else that would sing, and they would dance. And so there's a lot of people from Assumption that get involved going over to the hospital. I've actually supported Holy Redeemer Hospital for 40 years because I've been in there about 50 times, it seems, with all kind of emergency situations. The one of the questions, I did bring a map in, and I asked Sister about where they're centered at, where the home convent, I guess it is, and she said it's up here around Moshi, and that's it's right on the border of Kenya. I can see that on the map here I bought, and so I figured, oh, I better do some research and ask, so I can ask the nuns about, you know, where they were from. And are you all from basically in that same area, or from all over the country?
Well, same area.
Same area, okay. And there was, I think your sister, it was your sister Catherine's just had her 25th anniversary, December the 15th, and she gave me a picture of all the nuns. Has to be 50 nuns there, I guess, all around her with flowers and for her anniversary that year. Actually, it was last December,
this past December.
Yeah. And now, are they all spread throughout Tanzania, or are they centered mostly in the area of Moshi?
We are from different countries. Like on my Jubilee, we have four of us, one from Germany, one from Key West, Florida, and myself from Pennsylvania, and the one she's still living in Tanzania.
Tanzania, okay.
Yes.
So, but most of the other nuns here are in Tanzania?
They are from Malawi, Kenya. Some they were from Germany. They came for that celebration because it was the official day to open our 58th Jubilee of our community, which is going to be on this December. So it was the official day of, like, open
house, an open house.
Yes, open house for the Jubilee of our community.
Oh, terrific. And somebody was telling me, I said, we're having all these nuns come on, and they said, ask them if they have any brothers who are priests and send them to the United States, because we need priests in the United States too. So, but I did interview, I'm trying to think, we had, as I said earlier, we had priests from Kenya, one from, I guess it was, I'm trying to think the name of the other country, but they said the seminaries were burst. Oh, Nigeria. Said the seminaries were bursting in Nigeria with men studying for the priesthood. And we need them here in America. It's great to say. I remember I was at, every year, men, we have a retreat, and one of the priests that used to be out there all the time was a real old Irish priest. He actually lived at Villanova. And one of the questions the men ask him, they'd get together with him on a Saturday night and ask him, do you think that we'll ever have an American pope? And he said, no, I don't think so. He says, because you got Irish, and you got Germans, and you got this, and they can't get along with anybody. He says, I think we will see one day when there will be priests coming from Africa, because our culture was starting to go down with abortion and all the other immoral things that are creeping through into our society. He said, you will see priests coming from Africa to bring the church back to America. And I said, here I'm sitting with five nuns, six nuns right now.
Yeah.
And the wave is coming in. So it's so great. You know, our parish is so proud of the nuns. When we have different things in the parish, the St. Patrick's Dance and a appreciation night we have, the sisters are usually in attendance there. And some of them can really cut a rug, which means dance. They can really dance. But what I ask them to do before we came on is to prepare, because when we get together for those events, they'll usually get together and either do a dance or sing a song from Tanzania. So I asked him to sing a song today from Tanzania. And so they have it here, and they're going to all sing it together. So I guess Sister will give them the go-ahead, and we'll start off, okay?
The song we are going to sing is the song of the Holy Spirit. In our community, every time at 9 o'clock in the morning, we sing a song of the Holy Spirit to call Holy Spirit to lead us through the day. So we meet in the chapel, and we sing this song as our tradition. And we're going to sing that song today like our tradition as the Holy Spirit sisters in the Holy Spirit Radio. I invite all my sisters, we can sing this song together.
We'll join together. Okay.
Come, Holy Spirit, to everyone, and with the Father and the Son, it is the with your full flood of holiness, let flesh and hearts and lips and mind sound forth your witness to mankind, and love light up our mortal frame, till others catch the living flame. Grant this, O Father, ever one, with Christ your Son, begotten Son, and Holy Spirit, whom all adore, reigning and blessed forevermore. Amen.
Terrific. What great harmony that we have professional singers here. That was really, really good, sisters. Thank you. As I said, this would normally be a program called Voices for the Unborn, when we would talk about all the life issues and the things that are happening in the culture of America. I had a question. Is in Tanzania, is there an abortion problem? Is there doctors who actually have offices where they young women can go for abortions, or is it the culture of the people of Tanzania object to that? We don't want innocent unborn children killed in our country. And so evidently you're shaking your head, there are no abortion mills there for people to go and have abortions, which to me is great.
No, Tanzania, they don't have the clinics for the abortion, but some they may have the abortion in secret, and the government is against it.
Yes.
That is very good thing, but still we have some people, they want abortion to be public, but
yeah,
the government is not ready for that.
Well, we hope they never get ready for it. The situation in America, and you've probably heard of Planned Parenthood, they love to go to countries in Africa and start sowing their seeds of contraception, abortion, and things like that, because they want to limit the populations of minorities. And like the founder of Planned Parenthood was a woman named Margaret Sanger. And so she had the feeling that the black race was inferior, and so you want to eliminate them. That was the mentality of Planned Parenthood. And if I go downtown, if I would take her downtown on the third Saturday where I go to pray, I go to Mass at St. John the Evangelist at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then we walk through the streets, about 50 people, and we go to the abortion mill at 12th and Locust. And all you see white woman with a yellow vest, which is Planned Parenthood, they call them escorts. They're like devil's escorts. We tried to give the woman coming in, which are 90% black or Hispanic. We see them, and we tried to give them a brochure telling them, we can help you. We have a place for you to go. We have doctors who will treat you. We have homes where you can stay. If your parents put you out, if you just don't have any place to turn, you can turn to us, and we'll help you and see that your baby is born and that you get, like one of our homes, they make sure that they get go to school if they're in if they're just high school people or college people. They live there, and they can go to school. They get them transportation. So everything like that works out. But Planned Parenthood and all across the African countries, they try to get in there and legalize contraception, give contraception away to the young girls, and also condoms to the boys and all. But they also try to put the mentality that abortion is a woman's right. You know, it's choice. And the choice is to kill the baby. They, you know, I'm sure, as most of you are looking at you, absolutely, that would be the wrong choice.
Yes.
And I've been involved here in over 35, 40 years in the pro-life movement to help young women in those situations. And sometimes it's even married women who the husband does not want them to have a baby. They have three or four. We can't have another one. Go get an abortion. And it said, or get out. And so she will come to one of our centers, and we will have to put her up so that she can go through the term to deliver the baby. But in the meantime, once they know there's somebody helping her, that gives time for the family to get back together. To say, look, I was angry, I was hostile, and I'm going to love that baby as much as we love our other children. And so it reunites the family. Everything sometimes are done on the spur of the moment. Get down there tomorrow and get an abortion, and that's it. But then they regret it the rest of their lives. We have so many programs that Rachel's Vineyard and many other organizations that the women go there. Because they feel so guilty after everything they did, now they can go here for counseling, and they help them, look, Jesus forgives you for that. You know, you just repent of that sin and go on with your life, and God will be with you, and he'll take care of you. But don't do it again. That's what we're always told. Hey, you committed that sin, but go and sin no more. And so that's what... we try to help women with these various organizations. But that's enough of what I'm talking about. I wonder, knowing you all here, I was in the service for 3 years in the Army, and then I traveled for my company for about 4 years. And you really miss your family, and your family misses you. And sister told me that there is a radio station, a Catholic radio station in Tanzania, which they can hear that radio station here in America on the internet. So I told them they can, in Tanzania, they can also hear this radio station on the internet over there. If they go to holyspiritradio.org and then they click on, and there'll be different places that you can click on to hear. Well, one will be the Voices for the Unborn, and that would be our station and our program. And then they can click on, they probably can hear this. But I'm sure Dale will give you, and Kathy will give you, and Jane will give you a CD of this program. So you'll have it to play and maybe make copies and send it home or whatever, you know. But anyway, my question is, I guess you do miss your families.
Yes.
And it's a sacrifice you made for Jesus. And you know, the work you're doing through the Holy Spirit is helping a lot of people. And in that way, even though your families miss you and you miss your families, it's all for the good of God. And so they know that it's a sacrifice. And Catholic faith would call to make a sacrifice. So as you were making a sacrifice, so are your families. And it's what I feel is, I wanted to know, do you get to go home? Like, in the Army, you would get leave. Do you get to go home maybe once a year or every 2 years so you can see the family, and maybe a sister's getting married or a brother's getting married or somebody's graduating from school. You miss out on all those family situations. Is that right?
Yes. We do to get to go home every 3 years.
Okay.
And we go for 2 months.
Oh, good. Great. Yes. That's good. That's like accumulating the leave. Like in the Army, you would get 30 days a year. Mm-hmm. So it would be the equivalent of 3 months, during the course of a three-year enlistment. The other thing is, when did you feel the call to become a sister of the Holy Spirit? Were you in school and a light went on and, oh, I'm going to be a sister of the Holy Spirit? Or did you meet a nun that impressed you so much that you thought, I want to be a sister of the Holy Spirit? So who's going to tell me when that first came to them, their inspiration? Sister?
I remember I was in grade 7 when I feel like I need to join the sisters. So I explained to my mom, but I didn't want her to decide for me because I didn't know what to do. So what I did, just send my application letter to the Holy Spirit sisters. And they told me, oh, you are too young now. You cannot join our community now. So they advised me to go to secondary school, but my family could not afford to go pay for me to go to the secondary school. So I just remained at home for 3 years. And then I sent another application later. And then at that time, they called, yes, you can come. You can come now to the community now. And I went there and undergo 5 years as preparation. And after those 5 years, I professed, and this was in 1992. So after that, I worked in the community for 5 years. And from that, I went to school. And after school, this was high school for 6 years. And after 6 years, I went to the college and was certified as geography teacher. And from there, I worked for 5 years. And then I come here to the States for further studies.
Good. Okay, so you're still going to school here is it Manor?
No, at Cabrini College.
Oh, Cabrini College. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's right. That's not too far from here.
No, yeah. It's far, but
Okay, who else is going to tell me when their inspiration came? Sister?
For me, I became the Holy Spirit when I saw one of the Holy Spirit sisters in my parish. Then she talked to us about their charisms, their spirituality, how they are, their apostolate. Then I was thinking like, yes, this is the one I want to go.
Okay.
That's the way the Holy Spirit inspired me.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. It's usually a role model that you meet that inspires you. Somebody thought, I want to be like that person, and I want to do what they're doing. You might notice that they're admired by other people for what they do. The thing is, I'm working for God, so He's going to protect me. So I'm not going to get in any trouble if I'm in the convent. So, sister, your turn.
For me to become a Holy Spirit sister is the first time I saw two sisters. They came in my parish. They were there as a student. So I talked to them. I asked them some questions. They answered me and they say, oh, sister, oh, dada, like a sister. If you want to become a sister, just easy, simple way. Write your letter and send it to the community and they will invite you to go there. So I wrote my letter and I sent it. They invited me to go there, like to visit 1 week. I stayed there 1 week to saw what they're doing, how do they do their work and everything. So after 1 week, I went home and they told me, okay, we will write a letter to tell you if you will join us or not. After 2 months, they invited us to join them. So I went there to to join them and in 1996.
1996, okay.
Yes.
So it's quite a few years. One, two, next two.
The time I decided to be a sister, I was standard 5. It is class 5, they said, or grade 5.
Fifth grade, yeah.
Yeah, I was fifth grade. It came about, it was a Sunday of vocation. They have a vocation Sunday every year. So that Sunday, the priest preaches very nice in the church. And in Tanzania, we used to have the children mass. Every Sunday, the children has to go in their own mass. They don't have to mix with the parents. So I was in that mass. The priest preached it so well. I said, oh, maybe he's talking something. I started getting the inspiration. Then at the end, he asked all the children, who wants to be a nun? All of us, we raise their hands. And the boys, who wants to be a priest? All of them, they raise their hands.
Yeah. So that he was a good preacher.
Yes, he was. So it sticks on my mind. So I was waiting, thinking about it. So the following day, it was Monday, I went to school. My religion teacher, he asked the class, who went to the church yesterday? We all raised the hands. What the priest said? We said all what he said. So he said, okay, who wants to be a nun? All of us, we raised the hands. So who wants to be a priest? All of them, they raised their hands. So it was kind of touching in my heart. I decided, oh, maybe I would love to be a nun. And because I raised the hand, I said, I think this is a very good thing. I will take it. So I continue with that idea until when I finish grade 7. I went to the high school. After high school, I went to the convent. And I made my festival profession in 2000.
2000, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And now you... did you go to college too in the
convent?
Or you're going to, who's going to college now? You?
I am going to to college.
Did you tell me Manor?
Yes.
Your Manor College, okay.
I just finished at Manor. I'm transferring to Immaculata University.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Right.
Speedo. Sister, it was driving.
For me to get the inspiration to become a nun is when I was in grade 7. I feel like I want to become a nun, but how? I don't know how to become a nun or where to go. So I asked my parents, I want to be a nun, but how? I don't know. They led me to one of the sisters in my parish. I explained to her. She said, well, come stay here and continue praying, find the vocation or the congregation you want to go. They give me a book. I read the book through different congregations. I saw the Holy Spirit sisters. I didn't know who the Holy Spirit sisters. I said, I want to become a nun for the Holy Spirit. They told me the Holy Spirit sisters, they have to go further studying, and we just started 7. I said, well, the Holy Spirit will lead me to become a nun in this congregation. So I wrote a letter. I sent my application for them. They accepted me to become the Holy Spirit sister. I stayed there for 5 years for the first. Then they accepted me. I make my vows 2001. That's why I become a nun. And now I am here.
I hear you.
Yes.
Are you going to stay here in the United States?
Forever?
Forever?
No.
Now you're going to make everybody cry, the listeners. But hopefully more will come to take your place.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's inspirational, the story. When I was young, we had a children's mass. And the children went to the mass together, no parents. And that was it. We don't have that anymore because so much of what was in the city now is all suburbs. And everybody has to be driven to church or picked up and brought home. And so they just said, well, we'll all go together. And some people say, well, that's good. But if you have at least have a Catholic school where the idea of a becoming a nun or a priest is put before the students during the course of their school year, well, that's good. But if they don't go to a Catholic school, they don't get any of that information, and they can go through their life without. And then that's when the Holy Spirit steps in. It can be, you know, some of the people who were living the worst lives ended up with the Holy Spirit touching them, and they become a nun or they become a priest. So, but it was good to hear that you got your inspiration that early in life. Well, I remember when I was like second or third grade, I was going to be a priest. I was going to be a priest. And then when I was in eighth grade, I met girls. So, I'm not going to be a priest anymore. I'll just be a good Catholic. But some of us have to be fathers.
Sure. Yes.
And raise our daughters and our sons and be a role model to them. You know, so that was my vocation. Sister, you're going to give us some more information about yourself.
Yes.
Sister Catherine.
For me to be a nun when I was in grade school, three of my aunts, they are nuns from different congregations. One St. Joseph, Our Lady of Mount Kilimanjaro, and the other one's from Teresina Convent. So they tried to direct me, like, do you want to be a nun? I told them, I like to be a nun, but I don't know where I'm going to go. So when I was in sixth grade, my brother, the oldest brother, joined the Holy Spirit Fathers, which is the same founder. Holy Spirit Fathers and Holy Spirit Sisters is the same founder. We have five community in this Opus Spiritus Sancti. So when my brother was coming home, I was questioning him, how about those sisters? Where do they live? How do they dress? One of my neighbor, she joined before me. She came home dressing. I saw her. So I said, I'm going to go to this community. Before I joined, my aunt, she was St. Joseph's sisters. She came to study in our community. We have a theology pastoral center. So she came there for study. So I went to visit. When I was visiting, I feel like maybe God want me to join this community. So I went home and wrote application. They called me to come and stay for 1 week. After that, I went home and stayed for 1 month. They called me again for some test, and then I went. After that, they sent me a letter to come and join them. So it was like I decided myself. I didn't tell all my brother. I didn't tell my brother, even my aunt. So that's the way I came to become the Holy Spirit Sisters. And it was like if God led me to choose my congregation, I can be myself, because they have their own community already. And I'm glad to be there. And I feel like I'm calling to be the Holy Spirit Sisters.
For 25 years.
Now it's going to be 26 years in December.
Coming up. December 15th was our 25th anniversary, though.
Yes.
A big party was held.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the other question, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, and we come every, well, not anymore. It used to come every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m., but I've taken a hiatus. I was sick for quite a while, and from some other programs came on, and so now I'm asking if I have some special program I want to do, can I do it? And Dale and Jane and Kathy, oh, sure, you know. So this is one of them special programs for our listeners. So I would tell the people, like from Assumption Parish, who are listening in, if they want to make a call and say hello to the sisters and thank them for what they do at Assumption and what they do in our community, the number is 215-345-1570, and we can put them on the air, and you can say hello to the sisters. Okay, the other thing that I had, one of my questions was, at our parish, it was brought up at one of the masses by Father Bill, and that there's need for a water filtration system in your hometown.
Yes.
And so we were going to try to do something in our parish to help make that possible. And so we'll be having, I guess, special collections to try to raise some funds. But Father Bill said he wants to have it finished for when he comes to visit. Is it this summer he's going?
He's going on December 15th.
Oh, December.
When we're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary of our congregation. So it has been 50 years since we were started in Tanzania.
Okay.
Yes. So he's going for that.
That's nice. That's great to have him do that. I think that, you know, the young people who are listening would like to have some more information about where they can contact sisters about, you know, being a Holy Spirit sister or any order that they would want to. But it's good to encourage the young women to get involved with that. So I think we have... Okay. Oh, put your headphone on, sister. It's right there. And we have it's your boss's calling from Assumption Rectory. Hello there.
Good morning, Bill. This is Dot and Rosemary in the rectory office. We are listening. Sisters, you sound beautiful over the radio.
Oh, thank you very much.
I can't wait to hear you on Sunday in church when you sing to our Blessed Mother.
Oh, thank you, Dot.
Oh. No, sister, this is Rosemary.
Oh, Rosemary. Okay, thank
you. But Dot's
here. Thank you.
Yes, Dot has one deaf sister and I have the other.
Okay, thank you, Rosemary.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you, Bill, for having them on. This is beautiful.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Did you hear their opening song?
Oh, of course we did.
Wasn't that great?
It was beautiful.
We was going to try, if we had TV, we'd have them do a dance, but, you know.
Sister, can you do the song that you're going to sing Sunday? I believe it's called Loving Mother.
Yes.
Could you do that on the air?
Yes.
Can you do that on the air?
Mary Loving Mother.
Perfect. Thank you.
Well, we can, I think we get two or three of them can do it.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you, Rosemary, for calling Dot. Good to know that the rectory is listening in.
Of course.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take
You're
care.
Welcome.
God
Have
bless.
Have a beautiful day.
Thank
okay.
you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Well, if we get a call in, that you know, we just put the headphones on.
Okay.
Bill, this is Kathy, the producer. I just wanted to tell you that we had a Nigerian priest call in and said that when he heard you sing, it made him so homesick.
Oh.
So he was calling to say how much he was enjoying the program, and he wants me to send him a copy of the program.
So. Oh, that's great.
But he wouldn't get on the air, so I tried.
Did he get his name?
Yeah, but I don't think he wants to
Oh,
be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have... As I said, we're looking to the day when some of the priests from Nigeria and Kenya and Tanzania are coming to this country, because look at our parish. You sisters are in Assumption. We have one priest. Years ago, there'd be four and five priests in each rectory, and each priest would have a mass to say, and then another one would do the baptisms. Now we have one priest, and they're closing parishes. I don't know what it seems to me like. The Catholic faith is booming in Africa, in all the countries. The one person that I did meet was from Nigeria, was Cardinal Arinze.
Do you know?
Yeah, because we had him here as a guest. We had, 10 years ago, we had what we called the Rosary Congress, and it was held in Philadelphia, and it was all the Catholic lay organizations put this together. And we held everything at the cathedral in Philadelphia. And we had, every day we would have a different high school. It was for a week that we did this. We'd have one or two high schools come. And they would, and we'd have 50 priests. And some of these students would never go to their parish to go to confession. Well, the lines for the confession were filled up from all these young people going to confession. We had our choir sing at the cathedral, and they just loved that. It was like, and Father Tarrant, who was our pastor then, he celebrated the mass, and he was like just a humble little priest from Feasterville, PA.
Oh, that's so nice.
And they have the pulpit sits up high. Have you been to the cathedral?
Yes.
It sits up high, and he was up there, and he was a humble, holy man, and you would have loved to meet him. But he he was very inspirational to a lot of the men in our parish now. He was the best priest, and I don't take anything away from any other priest. He was the best priest, my best friend, for years. They asked me to do the petitions at his funeral, and I wrote them. And I read over them 100 times. When I started reading them, I get to the third one, I start crying. I got so choked up I couldn't go on. And Father McCormick, who now is he's a saint. Well, I'm trying to think of the name of the parish. It's up in Upper Bucks County, and he had to have me step down, and he finished doing the petitions. But that's how nuns and priests become role models and inspirational to you, and you know that you could always go to them with any problem. And he was such a great man. Well, that was nice for the rectory to call in, and then we told him you were coming. They just wanted to make sure, I think. Well, actually, we did put it in the church bulletin and for people in the parish to listen in. As I said, I was doing some research on Tanzania and what it's like over there, what the culture is like, and God, it was like 10 pages, and I get involved in something else that I never got back to it. But I did run off the map of Tanzania, and it's a pretty good-sized country, and it says it's 5 times the size of the state of New Mexico here in the States. So it's a pretty big country. And that being nuns, there's competition because half the country is Muslim and half the country is Catholic. And we know that when Muslims get in charge, then the Catholics become infidels.
Yes.
And they try to wipe them out. Some of the countries have been really experiencing that now. And it's the men, your fathers and brothers of those countries who are Catholic, have to really stand up to the Muslim faith. You know, we can coexist, but we don't want you to persecute our people, persecute our nuns and our priests for professing that Jesus Christ is the Lord and King of all creation. So that's the what men are called to do. We know we hear about priests and bishops and popes being martyred, but many, many more lay people that people never knew their name were martyred for standing up for their faith. And many nuns for their faith. My prayer book every day is called the Magnificat. And as you read each day, they tell about the saint of that day. And when you read about the torture and the brutality that some of the women suffered because they would not deny Christ, it's so inspirational to think if people would have the courage to do that today. So our faith, the Holy Spirit, is the one who instills that faith, strengthens the faith in everybody. So people have to pray to the Holy Spirit to give me that strength, to give me the wisdom to combat people who are attacking my faith. So just the other day, I don't know if I heard about it or not, but up the University of Harvard, Harvard University up in Boston, there was a group of atheists, and they were going to have what they call the Black Mass. And the Black Mass is where these atheists, they try to get a host that is consecrated at the Mass, and somehow by deceit, they go up and they receive the host, and then they walk out of the church. The priests don't know, or the Eucharistic minister don't know who they're giving that host to. So they would get these hosts, and then they would gather all their atheists together, and they would have what they call a black mass, and they would desecrate the Blessed Sacrament, and they would do such terrible things. I don't want to say that, you know, but it's human waste they would do on them, throw up, and just anything to desecrate that host. And then they would jump with joy. Well, they were going to have that black mass at the university, at Harvard University, an organization. Catholics rose up, not at our university, not at this, you know, to desecrate the Catholic Church on Harvard University and the what millions of Catholics believe. I wrote a letter to the president of Harvard University, and I ask everybody else to write a letter to the president. And just yesterday, it was decided that they're not having that mass. Now, it's postponed, they said. But what that means for us is be on your guard, because they're going to try to do it again. So that's hopefully things like that, they think they're doing, but they're inflaming the Holy Spirit. They're making us grow stronger and speak out more. So when they do things like that, they're only hurting themselves, because now we are becoming more aware of what their goals are, and that they're trying to, you know, desecrate and have people not believe what we believe. So anyway, that's what why I write letters to the editor, why I'm involved in pro-life, why I got involved with the radio station so we can get the messages out. Usually when I used to do the radio program with a lady named Jeanette Wynn, Jeanette Wynn is like, I'm going to say Jeanette, over 85. People would hear her on this program, and they thought she was like 35. She has such a young speaking voice, and she would come here loaded with such great information about the Catholic faith and about what's happening in various countries. And Poland was another place that there's a great faith in Poland, Catholic faith. And they tried to take away a lot of their beliefs when the communists were there. But now that since Pope Paul went there, the faith has been rekindled. But Catholic countries around the world that for so many years and centuries were militant Catholic, abortion, the mentality of, you know, you don't have to believe what the Catholic Church teaches you. That's just, you know, a bunch of baloney. We have our own beliefs. So they're putting themselves above God and above the Ten Commandments and above the Pope. They become their own Pope. And so, and they try to lead other people with them and take people away from the church. So there was another question that I had. I was thinking of all these things as I was trying to get this thing together. Well, you did tell me about where you all grew, born and raised in the same location in Tanzania. Mm-hmm. But do you have any brothers or sisters who are following in your path, sisters who are following in your path to become a nun? But I think one's enough.
My brother is a priest.
Oh, that's great. Yes. Great, yeah. And he's stationed in Tanzania? Or?
Yes, he was over in Indiana for 2 years, and then he went back to Tanzania.
Good.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's that seed has to keep spreading. What they say, the mustard seed, it grows such a great big bush. So when that seed is planted in, of the faith, it's hopefully that it keeps growing and growing. And maybe Tanzania will be the country that brings everybody back to the faith. Because I can see from the faith of, well, you beautiful woman, that that it's you know, this is what's happening in Tanzania. I said Cardinal Arinze, he was in Nigeria, and when he became a bishop in Nigeria, the Muslims were the majority of the religion there, and the Catholic faith was the minority. When he later became a cardinal, and by the time he was called to Rome, it switched around. Nigeria became 63% Catholic. And so it's a very Catholic country now. But they're having a lot of their problems. They got these rebels and radicals and trying to create turmoil within the country. So that's the time when, like these young girls that they kidnapped, I believe they were all Catholic that they kidnapped, and then they made them start praying the Muslim prayers and wearing the hood and things like that. I forget what they call that, what they wear on their head. But now there's a battle. It's an international thing now. We're using these young women as hostages to get their terrorist released. See, the country has men who were running through the country kidnapping these girls and murdering women and men. Now, the head of that terrorist organization, he said, well, we got 200 and some of you young women. We'll release them if you release our men. So they'll release them, and what will they do? They'll go right back to doing what they did before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a sad situation there, and we pray around the world. I think people are praying that these young ladies are released and sent back to their families. That's a terrible thing for, like our country, we have a lot of young men and women who are in the military, and they go off to these wars hoping to bring peace and defend peace around the world. And they're gone for 3 or 4 years, and the parents are home worrying, well, am I going to get this telegram? Is somebody going to knock on my door telling me my son or daughter has been killed? So even when you leave your country and come to another country, your parents are still worrying, where are they living?
Yes.
Who's in charge? You know, what kind of influence are the people they are living with have upon them? So I think in our parish, you've got lots of friends, lots of people who love you and are so happy that you're there.
Yes.
When they walk into church and they see all these white habits there, it's like years ago, when we did have so many nuns in America, people would go in and see all these blue habits, the Immaculate Mary nuns or the St. Joseph nuns. So, but now you don't see that anymore. And people were praying for the day that that would come back. And talking about what do you want to do? What's your future? What's your vocation going to be? And there could be nothing greater and to serve God,
yes,
to be a nun and to be a priest or to be a brother or to be a deacon, some who are already married. Go and study to be a deacon because you can influence people from the pulpit about problems. So it's a good situation. Again, I wanted to tell people we only got about 10 minutes left. So if anybody who's listening would like to say hello to the Holy Spirit nuns, the number is 215-345-1570. And also remind you that this program is also being heard in Chester County, in WCOJ, which is 1420 on the dial. So you're being held right here and out there. So, the sisters are giving me directions here now.
I want to read this so they can know more about your community.
Okay, sister's going to tell us more about the community.
And we have a last song for finishing.
And a last song. It has been requested. Somebody called in with a request for a last song.
Holy Spirit sisters in the Opus Spiritus Sancti. Background of our society. The Society of the Holy Spirit Sisters was founded in Germany in 1950 by Father Bernard Bendel in request of Bishop Wilhelm Kauf, the Bishop of Limburg. The reason for founding this society came after World War II, whereby the sister would work among the people who were recovering from the war. With the help of Father Bernard Bendel, the sisters established their mother house in Mammersheim, Germany. In addition, in 1964, the society was extended to the Catholic Church, to the Catholic Diocese of Moshi, Tanzania, East Africa, in the request of late Bishop Joseph Kilasara. Three sisters from Germany came to Tanzania and they were joined by the five candidates. Each year they were joined by other women from different parts of Tanzania, Kenya, and Malawi. Our mission. While in community, the sisters are involved in pastoral care, education, social service, and health care. However, we work in accordance with the signs of the time. This means that we can work anywhere and do anything according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, today we are working in different areas in Africa, includes Tanzania, Kenya, Malawi.
Okay, I think we can squeeze in the closing hymn. Here we go.
Roya Bwana imeujaza ulimwengu, nayo inaviunganisha viumbe vyote. Ujio wa maana, maana ya kila sauti, haleluya. Pendo lake Mungu limekwisha kumiminwa, pendo la mimino katika mioyo yetu, na Roho Takatifu, Takatifu tulopewa sisi, haleluya. Na Roho Mtakatifu, Mtakatifu tulopewa sisi, haleluya. Roho Mtakatifu wa mapaji uje kwetu, mwenye hekima na shauri, elimu ibada, uchaji upendo, upendo na moto wawashwa, haleluya. Uchaji upendo, upendo na moto wawashwa, haleluya. Tuimbe wote leo, haleluya, haleluya. Furaha Roho Mtakatifu katushukia, imbeni sifuni, sifuni Roho Mtakatifu, haleluya.
Beautiful. I'm sure the priest who called in is crying again after hearing that. So I want to thank everybody. I got 30 seconds to get off the air. Thanks, sisters, for coming out on the program. I'm sure that if your family goes on the internet in Tanzania, they probably can pick up HolySpiritRadio.org and be able to hear the program. Thanks again for coming out, and I'll see you at church.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Thank you.